treasure him. I love this man with all my heart. He happens to be my father-in-law, and my wife and I are really blessed to have him with us here in the United States, all the way from London, where he is a minister. He preaches in churches in London and is a faithful man of God who served God for longer than I've been alive. That's what I said in the first service. And he loves the Lord and has been faithful to God in all his years. And if you were to know some of the stories, which I won't tell you today, but if you were to know some of these stories, you would marvel at the faithfulness which this man has exhibited. And I want to tell you today, today's going to be gleanings. Gleanings from a man of faith who has walked the walk. You know, it doesn't matter what you say. We're going to be listening because your life has proven that you have the right to speak. And so I want you to be at complete liberty. I know you spent 2 weeks preparing for the sermon, and I want you to be at complete liberty. If you want to preach it, you preach it. If you don't want it, you just want to tell stories or you just want to encourage us from a scripture, you do whatever you want to do. You have earned the right to do that. And I want you to open up your ears. This is what I said to the folks in the first service. If you're listening, you'll hear God speak. If you're not listening, it doesn't matter if he's a silver-tongued orator. You'll hear nothing. The burden is not on him to say words of life. The burden is on you to listen and hear the words of life because he speaks them. And so this morning, I want you to welcome my father-in-law, the Reverend Barry Brown, all the way from London.
Isn't God good? Amen. He's incredible. And, you know, Eric said I spent two weeks in preparing for today. Matter of fact, I've been spending probably a lot more than 2 to 3 months in preparing for today, because I've been looking so much forward to meeting many of you again and being able to rejoice in the Lord together. And yesterday I spent quite a bit of time preparing for 2 sermons here today. You can hear them sometime later on, but it seems that the Lord never got round to asking me to preach those sermons. So I have to depend on him to give me the word of the Lord this morning. Shall we just bow our heads in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we can come before your throne of grace right now. We're so grateful that we serve an awesome, incredible, fantastic, glorious God. A God who is able to hear all of our prayers. A God of wonder and excitement and rejoicing. Father, we rejoice in you today. And we thank you that you are an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And I want you to hide me behind the cross this morning, Father, that no man may be seen save Jesus only, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be the words of your heart and your thoughts towards this congregation of your people. So, Lord, I'm just your servant, and it's your word, and it's your ministry, and I commit it into your hands, and pray that this people will hear today the word of the Lord, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Whilst I had just finished the ministry of the first service this morning, somebody came up to me and said, "Oh, but I had a nice tie on." Well, I'd like to tell you a little bit about this tie. It's my favorite. And I find it's my favorite because on it is the cross, and it represents to me the most wonderful sacrifice that was ever made for mankind. A sacrifice that was made asking no reward. A sacrifice that was made that would fulfill a promise of the ages when in Genesis 3:15 he said, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent." A sacrifice that was made before the foundation of the world, before even man sinned. God knew what was going to happen. And God, in his infinite love and in his infinite care, sent his only begotten Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Shall we give the Lord a hand this morning? You know, as I study the Word of God and the things of God, I find the only time when people used to clap hands was when the King is coming. And I believe he is coming, and he's coming very soon. He's coming back to be with his children. I came to know the Lord many, many years ago, before some of you were born. No, none of you look over the age of 98. I don't worry. And you know, as a young man of 17, 18 years of age, I realized that Christ died on that cross for me and gave his life a sacrifice for me. And I realized there and then that no matter who you are or where you are, God is able to reach down into your heart and bring you to a full realization of his great love and majesty. I've changed the spelling of this word cross, because over the years I found the spelling should spell L-O-V-E, God's love for each and every one of us. And I think of L as being life. He is the life giver and the one who gives to us all eternal life through his wonderful shedding of the blood for each and every one of us. The O stands for obedience. And I believe as Christians, if we are obedient to God and fulfill the plans and purposes that God has set before us, God will pave the way for us to move forward in the things of God. I look around this assembly and I see God working in an incredible way. I have felt the power of God here in a phenomenal way over the last few weeks I've been here. And I want to tell you, I believe God is doing something great in this assembly. Don't lose what God is doing. Keep going forward. Don't stay at the mountain too long, but carry on and get going for God and start moving in the fullness of whatever you have. And the third word says V, victory. I remember singing that old chorus. There is victory for me. There is victory for me. In the blood of Christ, my Savior, there's victory for me. Are you living in victory? Do you know the victory of the Lord in your own lives? You know, many people who are Christians still carry the burden of their sin upon their shoulders. Many of them, no matter where they are or who they are, forget that Christ has paid the price, not only for our sins, but he's paid the price for our lives and for all, because we are bought with a price and we are no longer the servants of men. We are children of the living God. I not only see you as part of the church of God, but I see all the denominations that love the Lord and serve the Lord as part of that same family. We might have a different house in which we dwell and praise God and give glory to God, but we also need to go home to our own homes and be a family together with the Lord. In the first service, I read one of my favorite psalms, or part of one of my favorite psalms, that said that God is the father of the fatherless and the defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. Do you think God cares for those who are lonely? Why is he giving you the family? You might think I'm on my own. I live in London. I have a little flat in London, and I praise God for it because it's his provision. And most of my time, I'm on my own. But you know, I'm not lonely. Because he who created the world, he who put the stars in their place, he who is from everlasting to everlasting, comes and visits me. Hallelujah. The greatest visitor of all. I spend time in prayer, and I love to minister before the throne of grace, and I think it's important to do so because the very strength of our lives is in what we reap from the Word of God and through prayer. Now, I believe prayer and the Word of God go in balance together, like the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe I'm going to say something that might sound a little bit outlandish here, but let me finish. If you read the Word of God too much, you become fanatic. If you pray too much, you become dogmatic. No, it's the other way around, isn't it? No one's shouting at me yet. If you read the Word of God too much, you're dogmatic, and if you pray too much, you become fanatic. But if you take the Word of God and prayer in balance together, you could never read them or pray too much. And I believe that we need to be a people of prayer. We need to be a people who are searching the heart of God. If you are going to go forward in what God is going to do here, and I believe he's going to do great and mighty things, I believe that you need to realize that the most important meeting in your church is the prayer meeting. You know, something I'm very thrilled about when I've been here to prayer meetings. Ladies, shame on you. Normally, if you go to a prayer meeting with 20 or 30 people, you've got about three ladies and the rest are three men, and the rest are all ladies. You've got it back to front, Eric. You've now got five ladies here and 19 men or to that number. And when the men start praying with the ladies, you're going to see a shaking in the work of God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. My people? Revival isn't for the world, beloved. The revival is for the church. It's for the people of God. He said, if my people who are called by my name. What is your name today? We are Christians. We're children of God. The word Christian means basically little Christ. And when we go out into the street, when people see us and see the testimony that we have, they will come to know Jesus as Savior and King in their lives. I was thinking about Eric and the group of people who went out carrying that cross around here. I wasn't here when that happened. But you know, people will forever identify people who went on that walk with the cross. And I want to tell you, no matter how many people identify with that cross, they will find there is room at the cross for as many as will come to Jesus and come to him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's an old hymn that we used to sing, or I used to sing. Sorry, Tammy. I see her cringing when she thinks I'm going to sing. It's all right. You can put the sound down, brother. There's room at the cross for you. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and his grace so free is sufficient for me. The blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have called him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and pardon a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. You can clap. If you go to the Book of Kings in the Old Testament, or is it Samuel? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It is the Book of Kings, by the way. You'll find the story. I would suggest that you let me read the story because it's in the New English Translation. It might be slightly different to yours. There's a story of a floating axe head. Now, you'll all believe in that, won't you? It's taken from the 6th chapter of the 2nd book of Kings. One day, the group of prophets came to Elijah and told him, "As you can see, the place where we meet with you is too small. Let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet." "All right," he told them, "go ahead." "Please come with us," someone suggested. "I will," he said. So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees, but as one of them was cutting a tree, the axe head fell into the river. "Oh, sir," he cried. It was borrowed. I wonder if he was worried more about the axe head in the river or the fact that it was borrowed. Anyway, let's go a little bit further on. It was a borrowed axe. "Where did it fall?" the man of God asked. When he showed him place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it into the water at that spot. Then the axe head floated to the surface. "Grab it," Elijah said, and the man reached out and grabbed it.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Right, thank you, gentlemen and ladies. By the way, happy Father's Day to the fathers. You know, God is a God, is a father, isn't he? He's the greatest father of all. I wonder how often we give praise to him as our father, because the father heart of God is far greater than any heart that we can think of today, and his love towards us is far more incredible than anything we can think about. He's a great and awesome God. I'm very privileged to have my daughter with me here today and my son-in-law and be able to bless them, because I have seen a family that I really feel is a model family. And I know that they have their problems and difficulties like all families do, but it's wonderful to see them bringing up their children in the way of the Lord. Amen. I've got to give it him back, you know. He's been giving it to me all morning. And I've come to love Eric very, very much. And he's a wonderful brother in the Lord. And, you know, you're never too old to learn. You're never too old to learn. I may sit a little child on my lap and the little chap will teach me something. Many years ago, I held my first grandchild on my lap. And this grandchild was so beautiful that she used to put out her arms and just hug you. And
She loved being loved, and she loved anybody and everybody who came along to that house. She wasn't afraid of people. And she had faith and reached out to them. And that's how each and every one of us should be in dealing with people in the world and the things of God. And as I look at the scripture here this morning, I'm reminded of many things. And maybe I might not get to the axe head that swam, because it really is only a time of revival when this man who'd lost the axe head had lost his power for service, and the power in the time of revival when God was working and God was moving in the power of his spirit. He hadn't lost the ability to use the axe. He knew how to use it, and he knew how to chop down trees. He knew how the axe was made and how the metal was beaten out and cast onto it. But all he had in his hands at that time was the axe head, handle. Sorry, not the axe head. You know, he couldn't beat the tree to pieces with that piece of wood in his hands. I know some of you might try and do it sometimes, but it doesn't really work. He lost his ability in the time of revival to use the giftings that God had given to him. And I want to say to you, as you move into what God is going to do in this church, as you move into the power of God moving in a way that you will never realize in your life at any time, as you move into the blessings of what God is going to do and the amount of people that are going to come into this congregation and into the many churches in this town, you need to be ready and you need to have your wits sharpened by the power of God. You'll need to have the word of God deep in your heart. You'll need to pray, Lord, write your word upon the tables of my heart that I will not sin against you. You'll need to be there at all times in prayer and interceding on behalf of people. I tell you, it's a time when you need to get your defenses up, because the devil is going to do everything he can to bring down the things of God. But God is going to work here in a mighty way. I have a prophecy here that I believe is relevant to this church. And it's a prophecy that I just want to give to you with reference to you, your ministry and your ministry and what you are going to do in the Lord. Where is that prophecy? I don't know. Okay. Okay, I've got it here. Don't worry about it. I'm just a little bit disconcerted this morning. The Lord won't let me preach what I want to preach. He wants me to preach this, and I'm going to preach it anyway. Let me read this here. A prophecy concerning many countries, and I believe that we're heading into what I believe is a worldwide revival. I believe God is going to move throughout this world in a mighty way. It might be a last day revival. It might be a time when we are ushering in the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I believe God is preparing his church for what he's about to do. And I believe that either we get with it or we forget about it and go home. I like what Eric said this morning. If you're not going to do anything and sit like a pimple on a gherkin, did you say? Move yourself out and start letting people in who are going to do something for God and mean business with God. I want to ask you, do you mean your business with God this morning? Yes. Do you mean business with the things of God? This is the prophecy that it will be the greatest revival ever in these places because of the prayer of the few faithful intercessors. Now, that's the first point. Because of the prayers of the few faithful intercessors. The Welsh revival started as a result of a few old ladies getting together in a cattle shed in Wales and seeking the face of God. And God took a man by the name of Evan Roberts. He moved him out of the Bible school where he was and took a youth meeting in the church, and everybody turned up to hear this young man preach. And what happened? That youth meeting went on for 6 or 7 months afterwards, or weeks. I don't know, months I think it was. And the power of God spread through powerfully throughout Wales. The people were falling in the street and committing their lives to God and asking him to come in their lives. God raised up a man years ago by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, a Bradford plumber, coarse, bigger than me. Ooh. He had a very bombastic way with him at times. But when he prayed for people, they were healed. He raised over 20 people from the grave in his ministry. I remember friends of mine who knew him and were at an ordination service when preachers were going out to preach the gospel, and he was the guest speaker. He stood up in the meeting there to preach, and he looked at all these students who were graduating at that time. It's been a time of graduation here just lately. Boy, my head is spinning with graduations. But anyway, he was there in that auditorium. It was an Elam graduation. And he looked at these preachers. Some of them were halt. Some of them were half blind. Others were lame in the legs. And he said, and of course, the first thing you're going to preach on when you get in your pulpits is faith. And he said, come. And everybody came forth, those men who were sick and lame. And as he prayed for each and every one of them, God set them free and healed them. He walked into a house one day as he felt led of the Lord, because he had to go and pray for this lady who was very sick. And whilst he was going down on his way to that house, the people turned round to him and said, his deacons in fact tried to stop him, said, she's dead already, Smith, don't go down that way. Instead, he walked into the house, passed everybody else and chucked them out the house except for the parents. He looked at this woman in the bed, rigor mortis setting in, and he looked at her and said, in the name of Jesus, live. Nothing happened. So he goes over to the woman, and as I said, he was a big man. He picks her up in her stiff body and puts her against a wardrobe on the side, looks into her dead eyes and said, live in the name of Jesus. And she lived, went down and made tea or whatever it was for them. You know, the pastors like to go and get a cup of tea and a sticky bun sometimes, don't they? Beloved, God is moving in this day. The cloud is moving from the tent of Israel. And the word in the camp is, let God arise. Amen. Let his enemies be scattered. And God is there. His glory, power, and authority will defeat and destroy the many agents of doom and destruction. The stronghold men over towns, strong men over towns and cities will be bound, and evil minions under them will lose control and be defeated. Remember, this will be a sovereign revival. God is sovereign to revival. And I believe when God is sovereign to the revival, we have to walk in line with what God is saying to us, what his word is saying to us, and we have to be in a place where God can speak to us and we can hear the voice of God saying, this is the way, walk in it. God is not coming back for a church that is fraying at the edges. He's not coming for a church that has all sorts of thoughts and differences amongst them, that they get tangled up over little things, and as they say, as Jesus said, they strain at gnats and swallow camels. He's coming back for a holy church, a separated church, a people who are one accord and have one mind and one spirit and one heart to move forward in the things of God. And I believe in the latter will be greater than the former. Amen. When I think of the day of Pentecost, when 120 people were gathered together in an upper room, speaking 15 different languages, and they were saying, he speaketh in my tongue, he speaketh in my tongue. God was saying to the people, Babel is over. No more Babel. I've now given you the tongues of men and angels. Go out and do miracles in my name. Go out and do exploits in my name. It's when the power of God came down on that room of Pentecost where those people were. They were probably filled with fear. They wondered what was going to happen next. They didn't know what the situation was going to be outside, whether the Romans were going to capture them and persecute them. They didn't know what was going to happen. But when God began to move and fill the church with the power of God at that time, the church got out and 3,000 were added to the church of God. Beloved, God's Spirit is going to move here. God's Spirit is going to move in the churches in this town. And God's Spirit is going to revive people that they will get up and go forward no matter what the obstacles. Oh, I'm getting excited here. I feel a preach coming on. There shall be a shaking in the church and a waking up amongst born-again Christians. Oh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? But I am awake. Well, stop snoring. Wake up, Church of God. Amen. We have a responsibility on our hands. Wake up, those of you who have never gone out and told someone that Jesus saves and he loves and he cares and he understands. Wake up, people of God, to your responsibility, not to your families only, but to those people out there, your neighbor, whether he be in rags or whether he be in riches, he's deserving of the kingdom of God. Amen. And we will carry that message to those people. A hunger for God and his word will be prevalent. Do you have a hunger for God? Do you have a hunger for God? Do you hunger and thirst after God? I'm reminded of that hymn that said, "Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come to the fountain." There's a river of God flowing from on high, and it's flowing right into the church right now. And I want to ask you, each and every one, start drinking of what God has for you. And let God have his way. Holy Spirit will pour out his Spirit upon individual homes, upon governments, especially the decision makers. If God can change a nation in a day, he can change this nation in a day. If God can do these things, he's a God of the impossible, and he can do it for you, my brother, and he can do it for me and for all of us. Amen. That's right. And if God be for us, who can be against us?
Right. No one. Hallelujah.
For our God is an awesome God. Yes. And he will never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. Right. He will pour his Spirit out about church denominations. They will become one in the Lord. Hallelujah. How can we be separated? You know, I was a member of a full gospel church of God in Salisbury, Rhodesia many years ago. This is where I came to know the Lord. And we had the Assemblies of God church there. We had the AFM church in Salisbury too. And you know, the only difference between the full gospel church of God and the Assemblies of God church was that one believed in autonomous government and the one believed in general government. The only difference between the AFM church and the other churches was that one believed in triple baptism whilst the other believed in single baptism. Mind you, I only saw that Christ was buried once. We let petty little differences build up walls that separate us from each other. Pastors who are scared to share their pulpits because they're scared somebody might take their flock. men and women who will not go to this church because they have a petty difference with this person or that person. You know, when they were one accord on the day of Pentecost, I believe the people got together over those 8 days and they discussed their problems with each other and put right their misdemeanors and their different problems and situations so that they could become of one accord. Church of God, we need to become one accord with what God is doing. We need to be at one accord with each other. Don't worry about what Mrs. Willie said to Mrs. Wonky over here. Don't let it get you down. You know, when I got here, there was something that seemed to offend me. You know, being British, I see things from a British point of view. And there are certain things that Americans do that we don't do in Britain. And so they tend to offend me, and they build up and build up. Now I had to get down before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent of this thing in Jesus' name. Wash my heart and my mind from these things. And do you know, I am free. Amen. Yes, I am free. Christ, the glorious risen Lord, has set me free from all the doubts and fears that used to worry me. I am free. Yes, I am free. I'll teach you that chorus one day, in glory maybe. Right, His Spirit will pour Himself out upon individual homes. You know, Eric spoke about tithing today and giving to God. Well, I believe the Old Testament teaches tithing, and I believe the New Testament in the book of Hebrews teaches tithing to the Jews. But I believe Jesus taught that we give our lives, our all, and our everything. It's not just your finances, it's your home. It's everything you have. You say, Lord, it's yours. I surrender. I surrender all. I came to the Lord and didn't know anything about tithing or about the Bible hardly at all. And one night the Lord spoke to me and said, Barry, I want you to give 10% of your income to the church. And I said, Lord, what's this all about? I had no idea what it's about. 10%. Lord, I only get a few pennies in my salary bag at the end of the day. And I only got a little salary. I think I was getting then about 30 rand a month, not a week. Yeah, you can put your hand in there. And you know, my dad was taking the majority of that for rent and staying at home. And when it came out to the amount I had left, was not much more than the tithe that God was telling me to give. But you know, I faithfully put in to the offering that 10%. I asked the deacons at the door of the church when I went in that Sunday and said, what's this about 10%? And they told me about tithing. I've been through tough times, but I've never gone without. I've been in debt, and I see my God supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I've had to tithe in times when I'm in debt, and God provided. But you know, the greater revelation is in these days that my father said, Barry, I want you to give 100%. And that 100% was, we were able to say, Lord, what is food? What is seed? You see, God gave me the wisdom to use the little I had to bring glory to His name. Eric said, I'm a good giver. No, God is a good giver. God is the greatest giver. He does supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. He said He would not see the righteous forsaken or beg for food. He is a God who stands by His people. Never sees us go down. There was one day when God said to me, Barry, I want you to close all your accounts. Now, we didn't have checking accounts and things like you have today with all the plastic that you could use. Mind you, I think some of those plastic cards are worth more than the money you're putting into them. We didn't have those sort of things. We had accounts in different stores and things like that. And I was in debt to quite an amount at that time. And so I went through to every one of those stores And I closed all the accounts except for the chemist account, because I felt my children needed medicine at times and I needed to have something I could get it with. And so, that was later on in life, by the way. So when that happened and I did that, within 2 to 3 weeks, God had just wiped clean my whole debt situation. And from that day onwards, I've lived on a cash basis. I have no accounts. I've got credit cards. I can get credits up to £2,000-£3,000 or dollars, whatever you want. But I have a Heavenly Father who is my bank. And I bank at the heart of God and at the bank of God. I'm faithful to what God tells me to do. I hope I'm faithful anyway. And I give Him what I believe God has blessed me with. I came out here because when I started a few weeks ago, and I say only a few weeks ago, it was really only a few weeks, just a couple of months, and I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, I'd love to go to America to see my family. Tammy and Eric had just been there to see me, and it was wonderful to be there. I started praying into the situation, not really thinking much about it, but He said He would give me the desire of my heart. And, you know, within a matter of just a short while, I spoke to a friend of mine and said, you know, I'm really praying that God will provide for me to go to America. He said, well, look, I'll pay your ticket both ways. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to tell you something. That happened only a couple of months ago. And God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same God. Not only did He provide for that situation, He provided me finances here that I could bless other people with as well. And God has never forsaken me or left me in all the years that I've known His name. I'm just looking here upon the prophecy that God gave here. Those in the past who have turned away from God will turn back to Him. God has said He is married to the backslider. And I want to tell you something. He will not sign the divorce papers. Hallelujah. He's walked between the sacrifice. And He's given us life even more abundantly. And God will not sign the divorce papers. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Those who have gone away from God, beware. The Holy Spirit is still there. And He's at your tail right now. And you're going to come back to God with all the blessings He has for you. The plans and aspirations of evil men will come to nothing. Other religions and beliefs will try to take over and play down what sovereign God is going to do. But God has a plan and purpose in everything. And He'll bring their plans and purposes to naught. And we will see God move in a great way. There will be a great amount of people who will come against God's elect. But God has set a wall between them and you, a fire to keep them out and to give you victory. A divine mantle of protection shall be upon the nation. People of all creeds and beliefs will be amazed at what God will do. You know, we learned in theology that a miracle was an event in nature, so extraordinary in nature that it proved that the religious teacher, what he teaches is of God. Now, you all understood what I said, didn't you? In other words, when we see miracles and things begin to happen, know that God is on the move. Know that the protection of God is there for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. And God's love is greater far than you will ever believe. And He will reach down into the deepest depth to bring you out of that miry clay and place your feet on a solid rock that is in Christ Jesus. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say today that the battle is the Lord's. You need to just stand back and see the glory of God. It's not your battle. Stop getting in the way of God doing things. Start getting in the way God wants you to be and allow Him to fight the battle for you and go through in victory. Amen. For He is our standard bearer. Hallelujah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against you. When you go into churches and places in America, you see the standard of the cross, and you see the other, well, not this church, why not? And you also see the standard of the church. Well, I want to tell you something. The standard of the church comes first. Because if you put God first, your nation will fall in line with God and the things of God. Amen. I don't down the flag of America at all by saying that. But as you said in just recently, God comes first. Amen. And I come second. Not you, Eric. I come first. You may have abandoned God, but He has not abandoned you. Amen. We have stayed too long at the mountain. It is time we moved on into what God has for us. His promises are righteous. We need to walk in the light of His Word and in the fullness of His Spirit. Am I going too long, Eric? Can I go on for another 2 hours? I'm prophesying here to you today.
I want all of it.
How can we do these things? This may seem a dilemma to some of us. We can faithfully fill our hearts with the fullness of God. Keep our eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. What's that chorus say? Shall we sing it, Eric? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Is look full in His wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We can fulfill the prophecy that God is giving to us. When we're obedient to God's call and listening to His voice, we will only know God's will by reading His word, assimilating it, and putting it into action. Write my word upon the tables of your word upon the tables of my heart, O Lord, that I may not sin against you. That's what the word of God said. We need to pray and intercede in balance with His word. And we need to gird up our loins and get running. Put the gospel into shoe leather and start moving out for God in a deeper and more earnest way. Beloved, God has a plan and purpose for this church. He has a plan and purpose for this county. He has a plan and purpose for the mission. He has a plan and purpose for America, for England, and all these other countries. And God's plan and purpose is that you may prosper and go forward in the things of God, and that you might become a sanctified church, separated unto Him in all the fullness that He has for you. Beloved, are you willing to pay the price for revival? Are you willing to stand with me today and say, Lord, here I am. Send me, Lord. Use me in whatever category you want me to go, whatever place you want me to go, in whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm willing to do it for Jesus' sake. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all. Do you mean that this morning? I surrender,
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we stand before you as it were naked this day, Lord. We pray that you would strip us of all our inhibitions, strip us of all our faults and failings, strip us of all the differences we have and ideas we have against each other, Lord. Bring us into one mind, into one spirit, and one place where you can use us for the glory and honor of your name. That you will indeed send a sovereign revival upon these people and upon the people of this land, Lord. That your name will be uplifted, glorified, and magnified, and many shall be brought to you and to a knowledge of your great and glorious salvation. Lord, let this be a mission of sending people to different lands. Let it be a mission of sending people into the neighborhoods and different counties, Lord. Let it be an outreach, Lord, that will shake the very foundations of this land and bring people to a deep relationship with you. I pray for the pastor and his wife of this assembly that they would hear the voice of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk in it. I pray that your anointing will be continually upon them and that they will hear the word of the Lord and be obedient to the word of the Lord. That their lives shall shine and radiate to others, that like Paul of old, their testimony will cause others to become jealous and want to know the joy of Christ in the hope of glory. Lord, we now commit ourselves in total surrender to you and pray, have your own way right now in every one of our lives. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God in this, Lord. I just feel like singing another chorus. How's that sound? It's a chorus that I don't think many of you would know. If you do know it at all, it says, Jesus, use me. And, O Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Let's try it together. Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. And we mean it, Lord.